May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Beware of false prophets. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. My friends and loved ones, if ever there's a verse that motivates me in all of Scripture, that's the one verse. To have Christ say at that fateful day, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We are all subject to those words if we do not obey God's commandments and do what we should as fellow Christians to worship and fellowship with one another. That includes being at worship service on Sunday mornings. That means tithing faithfully to the church. That means going out and spreading the good news in the Greek, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That includes going out and bringing those into the church, evangelizing. Those are not just recommendations. Those are not just hints. Those are commandments. Those are things that we are commanded to do. And we're falling short on that. Don't believe that we will be easily forgiven. I don't believe that we're going to be easily forgiven. We're going to be held accountable. So there's three precepts in today's gospel. These main points are that, number one, I never knew you. Number two, beware of false prophets. And number three, by your fruits you shall know them. These three lessons are important for every Christian. We know they're important because in the next two verses of St. Matthew, we receive a clearer picture in Jesus' message and what he wants us to know. I will read those two additional verses to you. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? You see, we're here playing church, aren't we? We go about our daily lives thinking that we're good Christians. We're out there doing the mission that God commanded us to do. But are we really? Are we going through the motions, or are we truly taking our commandments literally and not just figuratively? Are we doing the things that we should be doing? When Jesus says that he claims that he never knew us, most everyone knows him or knows of him. He is taught in our history books. He is preached from our church pulpits. He is written about in song. He is parroted in comedies and cursed by someone every day. So he is a known quantity for those who follow him, and he is our key to heaven. So if we value where we spend eternity, either in heaven or hell, should we ask ourselves, does Jesus know me? We can answer yes if we have done the following. First, that we confess that we are sinners and are in need of salvation. Number two, that we repent of our sins and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And number three, and probably most importantly, I'll underscore it again, that we obey his commandments as written in the summary of the law, to love God completely and each other as Christ had loved us. Many followers of Christ miss that most important of the summary and treat it as a suggestion. It is not a suggestion at all. Indeed, it is a commandment. And if we do not follow his commandment, that we can lose our salvation, as St. Paul teaches in Galatians 6:4, you have fallen away. The gaining and losing of our salvation is also supported by St. Augustine in his book Confessions, and I was kind of going over that again this week. If we Christians ever feel that, number one, we've earned our place with God, that we are entitled to God's salvation, and that we are holy and acceptable in his eyes, that we need not change our lives and live righteously, then we risk being judged under the old covenant of the law. For in Romans 4:5 we read, God justifies the ungodly. This means that we should always keep a servant's heart and be reminded that we do not deserve the crumbs under our master's table. Jesus said that he did not come to change the law but to fulfill it. That was in Matthew 5, verse 17. So although he introduced a new covenant based on grace, not the law, grace cannot be fulfilled without the foundation of the law. God created everything on the basis of the law. We have the law of physics. Joe and I were just talking about that. The law of gravity, the law of science, the law of morality, the laws of nature, the laws of justice, the law of economies of scale, the law of war, and many, many, many other laws. We have statutes and canons in the church which are rules that we are to abide by in order to maintain order. Therefore, laws are important in the sacred as well as secular worlds. For this reason, we should beware of false prophets who promote many false doctrines available in our churches. And sometimes I think we need to beware of our own selves. One false doctrine that you've heard me talk about, and many have fallen victim to, is once saved, always saved. Now, on the surface, this is true, but what makes it invalid is that it is not accompanied by the necessity to obey God's commandments. This makes it a half-truth and therefore false. And that's how Satan actually tempts us. He will give us a little smidgen of truth, which makes it believable, but then if you look at the other part of the story of his temptation, it negates the whole thing. And that's what we have to be studied on, we have to be knowledgeable of. We have to get in the Word and prepare ourselves to know the Word when it's given to us falsely. And it sort of takes me back, and I'm going to get off of this for just a minute, because I recall prior to me going to seminary, I was up in Fayetteville, and it was right after 9/11. And I remember getting out the car. I'd taken Cynthia. We'd gone up there for a day of shopping at TJ Maxx and some of the places that we like to go to. And I was getting out of the car. There was a Muslim family that was getting out of their car next to us, and you could tell by their dress. And, you know, being the student of religion, I thought that I was, having a bachelor's degree in religion, I thought, well, this ought to be interesting. And so we struck up a conversation and started comparing notes, not intentionally, but it just kind of fell to that. And before I knew it, this gentleman, this Muslim, actually had me back on my theological heels, so to speak. I mean, he knew his religion and his faith backwards and forwards. And I was thinking, good gracious, here I am with a degree that I can put on my wall, a bachelor's degree, and I don't really know what I believe as deeply and as strongly as I should. And that sort of spurred me on at that moment, and it was then thereafter, very shortly, that sitting in St. Barnabas Church in Dillon, an old lady, a dear friend, who quite frankly I gave last rites to yesterday. She's her life is going away over at McLeod. And I shared this with the family yesterday, and I feel compelled to share this with you today. That, you know, after that event with this Muslim and me realizing that I didn't know what I believed strong enough, and that Sunday at church when our minister David, our priest David, announced his retirement, that as I was sitting down, she always sat behind me. On that finger of hers, she was tapping my right shoulder. And it was more than just her finger. It was actually the hand of God reaching down from heaven through that shoulder, down her arm, into the tip of that index finger. And she was tapping me on my shoulder, and whispering in my ear, "Now, don't you think it's your time?" And that was God clearly talking to me, because I was called many years ago to the ministry, but I ran away from the ministry. I really didn't want to follow those commandments. I didn't want to make those sacrifices. I did not want to live the righteous life that God has called us to live. I wanted what I wanted. I didn't want what God wanted. So for the next 30 years, it was all about me, 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 me. And that's where I am now today. It's no longer about me, me, me. It's about God. And if I may kind of say something about prayer, I finally developed, and this has actually taken years, and this is where I want to help educate and train you, as we journey together along this path seeking righteousness, just in our prayer life. If we go in prayer and we're constantly asking for this, for that, I need for this, and I need that, I need a job, and I need shelter, I need food, I need clothing, I need all these things, I need tires for my car, I need gas. You know, if we start, we find ourselves going in prayer, and all we do is ask, ask, ask. It's like Christmas. It's like we treat God as Santa Claus. Well, God is not Santa Claus, especially on Sundays. If we go back to the Decalogue, what does it say? You know, keep the Sabbath holy. What is that saying to us? That means today is God's day. Tomorrow and the rest of the week is our day. But for one day during the week, one day only, and on top of that is only an hour or so. On that one hour or that one day, it is our opportunity to give Him all honor, praise, and glory. And that's why we come here to worship. It is not just a hint. It is a commandment. We are to come worship God on that one day, give Him all praise, honor, and glory. I've heard people say, I left that church because I wasn't being fed. We're not in church to be fed per se. We're in church to get on our knees and worship God who's on that cross. I've said it many times. Cut the head off. It's not who stands behind this pulpit. It's who's on the cross is why you're here today. Whether it's a lay missioner or a Eucharistic lay minister, whatever it might be, morning prayer led by a priest or not, we're not here for that person that's at the pulpit. We're here for who's on that cross. That's why we're here. And if we get our perspectives right and our priorities in order, we will flourish. We will absolutely flourish. There will be people banging at the doors trying to get in because we have put God back on the cross where He belongs. And that's part of our mission. That's why we're here. We're here to honor and worship Him. And the next level is that in our prayer life, we will find that we're not always asking for things. The Holy Spirit already knows. God already knows what our needs are. He's already promised us in the Scriptures to take care of all those needs. Our housing, our work, our jobs, you know, our food. He's already promised. He said, I know the number of hairs on your head. Don't you think that I know what your needs are? But I want you to be first I want you to praise and worship me who I am. That's what God wants us to be. And so in my prayers now, I finally reached the point. I say one or two prayers for things that are really, really important. But the rest of my prayer is about praising and honoring and worshiping Him. And that's where we all need to reach that level in life. That's where we all really need to get to. So beware of those false prophets. Beware of those who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. And lastly, I will say this. If we will put aside our selfish things, if we will put aside our pride, and I think pride is probably the single most reason that we do not fulfill our obligations to His commandments, is because it's always about us. If we can lay ourselves aside for a moment and put God first in our lives, I promise you, it will change for the better. Thanks be to God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.